It's 6 past 6. You're listening to RN Drive. Well, an independent MP, Rob Pine, has introduced a private members bill to legalise abortion to the Queensland State Parliament. Abortion in Queensland has been prohibited since 1899, except where the mother's life or her physical or mental health is in serious danger. Jenny Elak is the president of the Reproductive Choice Australia organisation. Jenny, welcome to RN Drive.
Having me.
So I missed you there, but welcome. You're obviously pro-choice. That is the point of your organisation. But what do you make of these laws that have been suggested in Queensland?
All right. So the bill that's been tabled this week, firstly, it's quite historic because it's the first time that anyone has tabled a bill in Queensland to decriminalise abortion. It's a very simple decrim bill, so it basically just removes anything in the Criminal Code of 1899 that makes any aspect of abortion, either having one or providing one, a crime. So it's similar to Victoria, except that it doesn't have any extra conditions around 24 weeks, and it doesn't have specific requirements around conscientious objection, and it doesn't have access zones. So it kind of doesn't have all the added extras that would be nice, but it's kind of good in its simplicity because it basically just says we're going to not have this as a crime anymore, and it's going to be regulated in exactly the same way as we regulate every other kind of medical procedure and all the other aspects of our healthcare system.
Why is abortion still illegal in Queensland? I mean, what stopped this kind of legislation being considered earlier?
Oh, look, we've got in Australia 8 different sets of abortion laws in all the 8 different jurisdictions. It's kind of one of those historical things that when the colonies were forming, they adopted laws from England. So the law comes from the Crime Offences Against the Person Act of the UK, which the UK changed in the 1960s. So it's really just a case of every state and territory kind of getting around to it. And because it is an issue that a lot of people feel it's very emotional, and they politicians know that they will receive a lot of lobbying and not all of it will be pleasant, they often will shy away from tackling it. And one of the difficulties with having abortion in the Criminal Code is it contributes to creating a lot of stigma, which means that women who actually need these services aren't going to go and talk to their local politician about it, or they're not going to write a letter to the editor or, you know, do radio interviews because they feel stigmatised and they feel shamed and blamed, and they won't speak out. So that's why we have organisations such as ours that can kind of advocate without it being a personal issue for us as individuals.
Here's that independent MP talking about it earlier. This is Rob Pine.
Mm-hmm. I am simply putting a bill to have abortion removed from the Criminal Code. What I'm saying is that a majority of MPs can surely see the current laws are not acceptable, and hopefully we can arrive at some compromise that will be acceptable at second reading stage.
So does this bill have the political support it needs to actually pass?
Look, it's very hard to say because there hasn't been a lot of lead-up to it. Rob Pine became an independent after he was elected, and so he's not done the kind of party, cross-party consultation that a lot of other law reforms have. But what has become clear today is that both major parties are going to allow a conscience vote. So there isn't a kind of party vote that is going to be very clear. And from that sound grab, it sounds as if he's perhaps prepared to look at some amendments to the Act, which more often than not are put forward when abortion law reform is debated.
Abortion laws, as you say, do vary from state to state. So if this law was changed, where would Queensland be compared to lots of other states?
Mm. Well, look, it remains to be seen whether the bill will pass in its current form. As we mentioned earlier, there may well be amendments to it. If it were to pass in its current form, in a lot of ways it would actually be best practice in Australia because it completely takes away specific laws that put up barriers to abortion, and abortion would be treated in the same way as we treat having your appendix out or a broken leg fixed or your wisdom teeth or any other health procedure. There are arguments around, you know, we really need access zones as best practice. And there are arguments around specifying in law that, that if a doctor has a conscientious objection, that they need to inform the patient of that and not give the patient false information. But at the same time, a lot of those things, particularly the conscientious objection, are contained within medical standards and codes of conduct and those kinds of things. So, I think if it passed as it is, it would be a good law. And there are always opportunities later down the track to add things like access zones if Queensland wants to do that.
And last month, a 12-year-old Rockhampton girl was forced to go to the Supreme Court to get permission to have an abortion. Has this helped spur this legislation, or is it entirely separate?
Look, I think that certainly didn't help. I think that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I think that's a really good example of one of the difficulties that the law creates, because even though there's a judicial precedent that says, abortion can be carried out lawfully under certain circumstances, the judicial ruling doesn't cover all possible scenarios. And one of the other things in Queensland in particular is that there's very limited public hospital access to abortion. So most women have to go to a private clinic, which is very expensive. Now, in this particular case, I think that if that family had been able to afford to go to a private clinic, the clinics, because abortion is their core business, they know the law inside out, back to front. So they would have probably gone, okay, parents agree, the doctor agrees, the social worker agrees, we've got a multidisciplinary team of people who all agree with what this young woman or girl wants, and they probably would have just gone ahead and done it. But because they went to a public hospital, in public hospitals you have registrars who rotate every 12 months or so. Yeah. They do a whole range of perhaps the gynaecology department, and they don't know the law necessarily. And so they're much more concerned about being charged with an offence or having some other kind of legal issue to face.
All right, so, Jenny, I'm going to have to leave it there. Many thanks for your time on RN Drive tonight. And that's Jenny Elak. She's the president of Reproductive Choice Australia. A very funny text message has come in. Hooray for landlines. Well, look, we all back landlines here.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.